Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
Monday morning to you, Mike McNamara for a Monday edition of All Marine Radio. Yep, big day too. Finished up the, I have a couple things left to do, but Studio 2 gets activated later on today, and just in time, to be honest with you, which was the goal, to have it ready to for a virtual event tomorrow with the midshipmen at the University of Arizona. So I'm fired up. Fired up to do it from the new studio. First event. Yeah. So that's exciting. I got a few emails about Apple versus Android phones. And one person talked about, it's Apple's ability to integrate. Yeah, but I mean, if that's the argument, then Apple's, Google's pretty integrated. I don't know if you ever heard of that company, but Google's pretty integrated into the fabric of life. Microsoft, pretty integrated to the Android platform. Microsoft integrated to both. So I cast a jaundiced eye to the whole integration discussion, but okay. But here's my conclusion. So I started messing around with my iPhone again on, when was it, Saturday? Saturday morning, I woke up at like 3:50 and I my brain started going, and I started thinking about what I had to do to finish up the studio. And I'm doing that, laying in bed, and I thought, well, let me just lay here and read a little bit. And so I grabbed the iPhone, and I thought, maybe I judged it too quickly. Let me see how to solve this thing. And the answer was, I couldn't solve it. And I thought, this thing is a piece of shit. But what I thought was, the people of Apple, they're obviously, people that design this stuff, they're into cell phones. If they're forcing you to do it a certain way, or they won't allow you to do it a certain way, then that's the way they want you to behave on their phone, because they certainly have the option to do so, should they so choose. And so, it's kind of interesting. I couldn't solve it. So things that I would just say this to all you iPhone users, at some point, whether it's for one of your kids or your second business phone, get an Android phone, and you will be shocked at the things that, for instance, when I look at both my phones sitting here, difference on just your home screen, right? I don't have to touch apps to get information that I want. I can arrange those apps in any order I want, so they don't move as they kind of reshuffle as things come and go. They go where I tell them to go. Yeah, that's how that shit works. So in the right, in just the scan of my eye, you know, time, location, weather, temperature, high and low for today, and current condition. That takes me two different widgets on my iPhone and about half the space. And so I would just tell you, check it out. And I'm not selling Android. I'm just telling you, I'm a tech guy. I love technology. My kids will tell you stories. My ex-wife will tell you stories about me staying up all night working on a computer, trying to solve a problem, trying to get them to work, trying to figure out something I can't figure out. So I mean, I've always loved technology, and the different things that happen, different things that you could do with technology, how it's such a part. How it's such a part of our lives. And so anyway, so I messed around with my Apple, my iPhone, and still at the same conclusion. And here's what I've concluded. The iPhone is a status symbol. Apple is really, really slick marketing company. Really slick marketing company. And so what are the things that you use the most on your phone? Text messaging and your camera. And people tell you they have the best text messaging system and they have great cameras. So what else do I need? Do I need all the other googly gobbledygook or googly gob? The answer? No. For most people, I guess. And they make it look beautiful. And so, the first $1 trillion company on the planet, Apple? Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. And do it on the backs of Chinese labor. Got to respect that, don't you? Baseball playoffs, round two. Let me tell you, if baseball does not figure out a way to carve out 7 days to do what they just did, which is have 16 teams in the playoffs and go from 16 to 8, they're dumber than a bag of hammers. Normally there's 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 8 teams in the playoffs. Twice as many this year. That means twice as many markets, you know, have a chance, right? And then you have this element of March Madness in baseball, which generates a lot of, you know, excitement. So anyway, my own opinion. But baseball and some good series with a little bit of hate in them, which we all love. And so, don't be afraid to check that out. I'll be doing that while I finish the studio this morning. Today's show, only an hour. Yep. And then tomorrow and Wednesday, an hour as well as I get ready to do my thing. Well, actually, tomorrow and Wednesday, I'll be doing post-traumatic winning in the morning pretty early, and then I'll hop on and do this. So that's the way that thing's working out. The what else I want to talk about? Yeah, the studio. The studio looks awesome. I'll put a picture of – in fact, let me write myself a note. Studio picture. Into the post. Into is equal sign with a greater than or less than, the appropriate greater than or less than symbol at the end of it. So, have I ever talked about my symbol of box on this show? Somebody mentioned it to me. I have a system where I sit down and write the things I need to do virtually on a daily basis. And I put a box next to it. Okay, now, the box is a complicated box. So in the box, right, little square. And so the paper I use tends to be engineering paper. The paper I'm writing on right now, engineering paper. Why? Because it's easier to do boxes on. The notebooks I have, Moleskine notebooks, you get them at Barnes & Noble. You get them at Staples. You get them at, I think Target even has some of them, although they may not. I don't know if Target. I think they might. But anyway, you can buy Moleskine notebooks. Hemingway used to use them, and that brand. And you can buy them with engineering paper. So that's because I like to draw. But mostly it's because I like boxes for my tasks. Okay, so now, diagonal line through the box, okay, from upper right-hand corner to lower left-hand corner, and then the southern half of that, which would be the lower right-hand half, colored in, means, right, that I've done something and I'm waiting to hear from somebody else, or that I'm waiting for something to happen. So partial action has been taken. That evolves to upper left-hand quadrant, okay, is the only unfilled in space. So it goes from diagonal to three-quarters full. And that means I've done what I'm supposed to do, they've done what they're supposed to do, but the thing isn't finalized yet. I just have to make sure it gets finalized. And then ultimately completely darkened. How about that? That's the way I run my shit. That's the way I run my shit. So yeah, on a daily basis, that's my system. Write it down. Let me see. Let me tell you what I've got to do. Got to figure out something relative to my next video, my YouTube channel meeting with Tim, with Brad. Got to contact him, give him access to the videos, and sit down and talk to him about a concept and a timeline for the play. I got to figure out this Facebook auto post shit. It's starting to irritate me. I got to buy a can of air for my computer and stuff to make sure I keep the keyboard and everything. See, with electronics and electricity, dust is a bad thing. So you got to keep the dust off stuff. Yep. I got to buy some brackets because I'm raising a workbench in the garage that is now becoming a creative bench. I updated the 3 goals and 10 commandments. Got to get that onto the website. And then there's some audio that I have to get into the presentation. I have to get in a couple things from General Neller. And then I've got to find a way, kind of an interesting little thought here. I was messing around last week. And I played Al Pacino's Scent of a Woman thing, right? Where he goes to a disciplinary hearing for his friend Charlie. And out of that comes this quote.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
Yeah. If you want to listen to the whole 6 minutes and 20 seconds, it starts at this point.
I'm going to recommend to the disciplinary committee that you be expelled. Mr. Sims, you are a cover-up artist and you are a liar.
But not a snitch.
Excuse me?
No, I don't think I will.
Mr.
So that is that's the beginning of this scene. But out of that scene comes a statement that I can't get out of my head. And that is, there is no prosthetic for an amputated soul. How about that? I want to meet whoever wrote that. I got to find out who wrote Scent of a Woman, who wrote the screenplay, and where that dialogue comes from. Because that is a profound statement. And let me tell you, and so what it makes me, here's what it made me think of. I've met people, right, that have amputated souls. And they're essentially destroyed people. And they're not destroyed. I mean, they're limping along, faking it. And the thing about that post-traumatic winning does, when you give them the certainty that there is a path, you revive their soul. It gives them hope. They can see the path to where they have to go. And for most people, when they see the path, they'll get there. But that quote, I think, is an awesome quote. I've had it in my head since last week. There is no prosthetic device for an amputated soul. Whoa, that's some serious shit. The studio. I'll put a picture in it. It's cool. It's cool. It's the wood in there is darker, like a cherry wood. The background is gray, and the floor is parquet floor. And I finished building the podium over the weekend. I put some wood on it, on the upper part of it, so that when it's being shot for virtual events, you'll see wood. And then did some other stuff with it. So it looks very cool. And then I fired up then I actually started working with the computer. Listen to this. This is how crazy this is. I actually busted out the instructions. I was reading the owner's manual, the operating manual. Yeah. How crazy is that? Something I never do. But I thought, you know what? This is like an artistic device, and I've got to understand the technology so I can master the art. So I did that, busted out the manual, and I just thought of something that I wasn't supposed to forget, and then I forgot about it. Nice. So the studio's almost done. And then after I do the event with the University of Arizona, the next thing is to do is to record post-traumatic winning again. So I'm excited about that. But I thought I would just connect my camera to the computer and everything would happen. Not so fast. Doesn't exactly work like that. So anyhow, I'm figuring it out. In order to stream live audio and video, I thought you just like hook the camera and it would go. But it doesn't work like that with the digital. So DSLR cameras. So did that. Somebody asked me about the suicide problem inside the DOD. And when will it end? And so I thought, you know what? What is the... What is the realistic goal? Well, my own opinion is this, that the trend should be downward. Now, that's hard. And then to that end, I see this Fox News article. Active duty suicide rates, quote, on par with civilians, concerns grow for National Guard members in 2020, according to the Pentagon. So, what is DOD suicide have to do with on a par with civilian? Is that better or worse than we've done historically? So, I mean, we're like civilians. Yeah, but we used to be way underneath the civilian. So the article says this: suicide among active duty U.S. military members is comparable with the rate of suicides among the U.S. adult population, a new Pentagon report highlights. According to the annual suicide report, the ASR, some 498 active duty military members took their own lives in 2019, maintaining a trend of increased suicides among the active duty members from 2014 to 2019. The report released Thursday also found the Reserve and National Guard suicide rates did not show evidence of an increase or decrease over the same period of time. Suicide is a national public health problem from which the Army is not immune. People first is our philosophy, Secretary of the Army, Ryan McCarthy, blah, 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 blah. So then it talks about President Trump's comprehensive program. The findings also, in this year's report, the DOD found the military suicide rates are comparable with the U.S. population after accounting for age and sex. The findings also underscore that suicide rates for military spouses and dependents in 2018 were statistically consistent with 2017 and were comparable or lower than U.S. population rates after accounting for age and sex, with the exception of male spouses. So I don't know that it if that's what your metric is, well, we're not worse than the population. Are you worse than you used to be? Answer that. Oh, yeah, by a long shot. Okay, why? Tell me why. So I don't, it's like, yeah, we did shitty, but they're just as shitty as we are. Oh, well, that's fucking awesome, man. The numbers released last week by the Pentagon show the National Guard saw a fall in suicides last year from 136 down to 89. But in the same time, active duty suicide rose from 324 to 340, a 1% increase. Moreover, what? If you go up, what, they went up 16. All right. While the data conclusions drawn over the past year don't show a significant spike, the DOD stressed that it remains a cause for concern. The statistics from what has already been a tumultuous 2020 won't be available until a year from now. The Army is committed to identifying, and then you have a bunch of boilerplate. Talks about the Guard and unemployment, COVID having a bigger impact on the Guard. But again, you know what I still haven't seen? I still haven't seen Army suicide numbers for 2019. Kind of interesting. Never saw them published. I look for them on the internet on occasion. Can't find them. Because I've got a little table that tracks everybody's numbers over the course of the last several years. Can't find the Army numbers. Kind of interesting to me. Why do you think that is? Answer, I don't know, man. I don't know. So what would success relative to suicide be? Well, to me, you're not going to stop it. So what should you seek to do? Well, I think you should, if people that don't have serious mental illnesses, my own personal experiences, if you can educate them. And, but I think the key component inside the active component of the DOD and the reserve component as well is this. If you have leaders who don't know shit about this stuff, you're going to continue to have the problem. Because here's what happens. You know, PFC McNamara is struggling. He gets referred to mental health. He goes to mental health. Well, guess what? The two primary treatment protocols that the DOD uses for treating PTSD is don't help, right? The patients don't make progress between 50 and 75% of them. I mean, 50 and 66% of them, according to an NYU study, don't make progress. So let's just use the lower number, half. So that means half the people that you send to mental health aren't going to be helped by what they do there. Now, is it important to know that? God, yeah. Because what do you have to do? You have to stay engaged with them. But that's not the way it happens. The way it happens is, oh, McNamara's at mental health. He's good. Right? I can't really talk to him about that stuff. Why not? Bet you he would like to talk to you about it. Yeah, I bet you. So what's the art of the possible? The art is that 95% of us don't have a serious mental illness. And if you can appeal to the rational, you know, thought process of people, then I think you can change their behavior. So I believe that we should probably be able to, on an annual basis, drive that number lower and lower and lower if you could do two things. One, present the truth consistently to people who join the U.S. military, and two, consistently create leaders that understand their role in discussing it, in supervising it, staying involved with and knowing the people that they lead. And I think if you do that, you can drive that number down pretty low. I honestly believe that because it happens all the time where I go. So anyway, on this Monday morning, lamp just fell over because the books just got knocked over. And that's nice. Good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Happy Monday. Had to retrieve a lamp, and this is dedicated to everybody out there that's struggling. Yep, there's a path for you. You can walk it. You can transform your life. I know that from doing it myself, and then other people watching other people do it. So if you're out there struggling, or you know somebody that is, go change your life. But there is a path. You can do it. We can do it.
Ah, You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time for us to check the weather. We'll take a break. We'll check the news. Currently, in Quantico, the crossroads of the Marine Corps, it is sunny and 64 down the coast at Camp Lejeune. It is partly sunny and 68, 29 Palms, partly sunny 74, Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton, sunny and 71. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy 73. Okinawa, dark cloudy 78. Didn't want to do that. In Darwin, raining, dark in 79. And in Oslo, in Norway, it is partly sunny in 58. Late in the afternoon there. Currently, it is foggy in 67 here in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area. Costa Mesa, Newport Beach, Irvine area of Southern California. Fountain Valley, Tustin. Yeah, little epicenter there. Santa Ana, a few miles to the east. Looking for a high today all the way up to 86. Tomorrow, 82. And then a cooling trend. That was hot here all weekend. Hot and a little bit humid. So, that is a... That is a look at your weather here on a Monday morning. So, exciting week here at All Marine Radio. Yep. Exciting week. Studio 2 goes into action. So, whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up. We'll check news headlines. There's a bunch of it. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's service members and veterans are strong. Forged out of...
Oops, wrong batch of commercials. I know because I like this commercial.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back, and that's okay.
But everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
You stood by us when we were in uniform, so stand by us now.
Like my brother did, when he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Like my wife did, when she asked the right questions.
Like my friend did, when she made the call.
Take a stand for those who served our country.
If you're a veteran in crisis, or know one who is, the Confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's service members and veterans are strong, forged out of bravery, sacrifice, and duty. They are diverse, unique, from all corners of the country, and thanks to their common experience, a family for life. But whether they served in lands far away or communities close to home, some of these men and women may face difficult times or even crisis. But sometimes, reaching out for help can be the most challenging and worthwhile mission of all for veterans, service members, reserve, and National Guard. Thankfully, friends, family, and communities are standing by their service members and veterans now more than ever. We're all in this together. When you recognize something isn't right, make the call to the Veterans Crisis Line or Military Crisis Line. During times of crisis, reach out and call. Dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 or chat online at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Hi, I'm Gary Sinise. Our veterans put everything on the line to protect our freedom. We may never be able to repay them for their sacrifice, but we can show them just how much we appreciate all they've done. You can help by simply sharing your time, lending a warm smile, a supportive hand, or a sympathetic ear to someone who needs it. Everyone can do something to make veterans know just how much we appreciate their service. Please visit www.volunteer.va.gov. What will you do?
We all share a common journey. We wanted to serve our country, stand for something bigger than ourselves, and protect the things we love. Although we were ready to face any mission, help those in need, and make a difference, for some of us, coming home was more of a challenge than we expected. In the service, we had each other's backs. But as veterans, it can sometimes feel like we're all alone, even when surrounded by our loved ones.
If you're a veteran or service member in crisis, or know one who is, call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Continue. I want to read a few articles that I've saved, right, before I go into the news today. One entitled from the Wall Street Journal, entitled "Breonna Taylor Case Outcome Isn't Unusual: Review of Police Shooting Shows." So, you know, one thing that's interesting to monitor is kind of when somebody like the NYU study about PTSD state treatments, it's a study of studies, right? So they didn't do their own study. They studied studies that have been put out there. So I think that's kind of interesting. You know, so the essence of this article, academic study indicates very few police officers are charged with crimes related to shootings on the job. Well, why is that? If charges, you know, so the police department doesn't decide if they want to be charged. They want these officers charged. And let me just read you the last couple paragraphs. While the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis was almost universally condemned by law enforcement officials. Police say most killings occur in situations in which officers are defending themselves or others. But activists say they would like to see more legal changes that make it easier for prosecutors to bring and win charges. For instance, there are very few states that require officers to use alternatives to deadly force when possible, and without that, it becomes difficult to convict an officer, said Sam. Let me tell you why that's stupid. So there's a requirement for you to use less than lethal means. So somebody's going to dictate what I have to do as I begin to apply deadly force. That's not reasonable. Then, you know, again, if you go ahead and you want to do an interesting little read this morning, go ahead and just do a search on Google, if you will. Google's a company. It's not a verb, okay? But anyway, search the words Minneapolis City Council, and then type in defund the police. And then, hold on, click on the news button. New York Times, how a pledge to dismantle the Minneapolis police collapsed. Fox News, some Minneapolis City Council members may regret the pledge to dismantle police department, according to a report. From a website called The Hill, some Minneapolis City Council members would like a redo on defunding the police, according to a report. New York Post, with crime soaring, Minneapolis City Council flips on defund the police. Now it's like, well, people just didn't understand what we were saying. Minneapolis Public Radio, with violent crime on the rise in Minneapolis, City Council asks, where are the police? New York Times, from a week ago, this is all within the last week, Minneapolis officials said they would defund the police. Some now regret the pledge. So anyway, so you're going to try to dictate what somebody's going to do in that situation. It's nonsensical. You know, and in a country of X million people, you know, what you have to be vigilant of are people that shouldn't be put in those situations. Should not be put in those situations. And so that's what you have to be vigilant at. And let me tell you, long before somebody, you know, kills somebody, you see indications that they don't handle it well. Because not everybody, contrary to what the popular narrative is, that everybody can do everything. That's not true. Not everybody can do everything if they just tried and are given a chance. That's not the way life works. From the Wall Street Journal moments ago, White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany has tested positive for COVID-19. President Trump remains hospitalized. Doctors evidently are going to hold a press briefing here in a little bit. His doctors offered conflicting signals, but the First Lady in a tweet earlier today suggested that the president might be coming home. Story about Joe Biden and the Supreme Court that I don't really want to talk about. There's one other story in this group. It's called Cancel Culture. There's another interesting article and opinion piece. You know, Supreme Court switcheroo, that showbiz. Democratic senators put on a rousing performance, but the story will end happily for Republicans, right? There's another interesting story that I downloaded, that I printed, called An Honest Conversation About Race. Is confrontation-wise, much progress has been accomplished under the cover of hypocrisy or civility. Now, here's one of the things that's kind of interesting about this story, and that is this. The numbers for watching sports has plummeted, okay? And most sports leagues have plastered, right, the playing field, helmets, uniforms, you name it, with social, you know, messaging, okay? And I saw an article, and it was talking about this. And one of the things that people interviewed said, and all, every one of them, you know, did not give a name, gave their first name, said where they lived, and then, you know, who they rooted for and how much they missed sports and how appreciative that they were that sports were going on again, giving them some outlet and some relief from the news of this summer. And so the gist of the article was this. That people were tired of having social messaging shoved down their throat, is the way they put it, repeatedly. Yeah, well, I'd like to watch, but I get tired of everything I turn on is telling me what to do, what to think, and how I should behave. It's just old. I don't turn that on for that. When I want that, I know where to find it in my life. So I stop watching. Whoa. Yeah. So kind of interesting. Kind of interesting. Now, and you know what? I had a very cynical thought in the garage yesterday while I was working on the studio. Okay, other than standing up in front of a television camera, right, and saying whatever the hell they say, so all these athletes, are they going to do anything else? Are they going to devote their time? Now, this is my great criticism of athletes and their foundations. That some lawyer, somebody they hire, some firm that's running a portion of money that they put aside, you know, let me be really cynical, chiefly as a tax write-off. Hold on, I got to staple something. Excuse me. And do they give of their time? Do they give of themselves? Whoa, Mac, that's kind of rough. I know, kind of harsh. So you say you want social change. Is there any way that we could indicate by your behavior that you mean that? What are you trying to say? I mean, could you back that up? If you were accused of being an activist for this cause, could you back that up with your behavior? So it's just a TV thing. Yeah, it's just fake. Fake news. This is out of the Seattle Times. Is our cancel culture killing free speech? Now, it made me think, what was the first time that I saw something relative to free speech that alarmed me? And I'll tell you what it was. It happened at Berkeley. Like, there was stuff going on in Portland that alarmed me. And then at about the same time, there are two incidents. I want to say Ben Shapiro and then who's the girl? Conservative. She's a writer. Blah, blah, blah. I can't remember her name. Writes books. Anyway, she was going to Berkeley. And they rioted. And neither Ben Shapiro nor this woman spoke. I want to say Laura Ingraham, but it's not Laura Ingraham. What's her name? Prominent conservative women. Her name is – There she is. What's her name? I still don't know her name. Ann Coulter. Yeah, Ann Coulter. So, I think it was Ann Coulter, and they rioted. And you saw the violence. And the windows, it's all the things that you've seen now. There you go. Libby just bombed in, Ann Coulter. And then there was that conservative blogger, Asian guy, in Portland. And somebody walked up behind him, and I want to say it like less than 5 feet, hit him in the head with a brick. And he's being, you know, he's being maced and, you know. And you're watching it going, where are the cops? By the way, where the fuck is the FBI? All these people moving around, coming from out of state to riot and shit. Isn't the FBI supposed to be on that shit? Why am I not hearing anything about that? Interesting. So I saw this. Is cancel culture killing free speech? Well, they very deliberately, this movement, right? A right that I think most of us said, the right to assemble and speak freely, that's fundamentally American. Like, I may not agree with what you have to say, but I would fight to preserve your right to say it. That's what we do in this country. Well, what you saw, and you saw these assholes, and you know what? They show up, right, dressed in black with their little backpack on. So to me, if you show up at a rally, you got a backpack on, I'm arresting you. In the nation of McNamara, yeah, you're getting arrested. Because I'm not stupid, man. I know what's in that backpack. And you know what, again, the thing that irritates me about these people? It's like they would never walk up to you and do this to you to your face. Ever. They're little punks, right, who in a group with their face covered do shit. And then the funny thing that, you know, you saw these people marauding through Manhattan and got caught. They're all rich white kids. Stupid. So anyway, crying out for the attention their parents never gave them. I'll read you the first and the last paragraph. Once upon a time, folks who considered themselves left of center believed and practiced free speech and freedom of conscience. They saw these things not only as a fundamental right that transcends politics, but also as an effective tool to advance progressive objectives in social justice. They went so far as to fight to allow skinhead gangs to voice their delusion and hate in the public square. They did so not because they agreed with them, but because they viewed skinheads' right to speak and protest, and that of all miscreants, gadflies, cranks, and rabble-rousers, no matter how despicable their beliefs, an integral part of the American experiment and way of life. Indeed, as integral to liberalism itself, or at least as sunlight doing its job as the best disinfectant. In short, what previous generations of liberals understood is that allowing others to say something is not the same as endorsing what they say. Is this a true story or a fairy tale? The truth is, it's hard to know. This may be a glorified view of a golden age of free speech and freedom of conscience that may never have existed. I think it existed. I believe that. That's the country I grew up in. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So it's a pretty lengthy op-ed. It's written by a guy named Victor Menaldo. He's a liberal and a professor of political science at the University of Washington. James Long, who's a political scientist, and Rachel Heath also contributed. So let me read you the final three paragraphs. There are myriad perverse consequences that emerge when we try to stifle thought and speech. These things that we don't like to hear about. If we don't try to solve the fundamental problem behind the speech that we dislike and work only to mitigate the symptom by censoring it, we drive the problem elsewhere. Out of sight, out of mind, and into the gutter. Untoward ideas silenced by polite society inevitably go underground. They don't disappear simply because we don't like them and censor them. Worse, silencing these ideas might mean stifling knowledge about their very existence. That helps make bad ideas fester, spread, and mutate before they can be countered with facts, logic, and evidence. Whoa. Facts, logic, and evidence. That like flies straight in the face of social media. The piece goes on. What promoting unfettered thought and speech does is allows us to weaken the viruses of bad, untested, and morally bankrupt ideas before they infect all of society. It smokes them out and allows us to interrogate them. Free speech, it turns out, is the best vaccine against the speech we don't like. The simple fact that of the matter is that censoring speech is a recipe for liberalism and regression. Whoa. That is, and always has been, the reactionary way. Perhaps today's left wants to make common cause with those who throughout history have used social and political means to eliminate people perceived in their day as heretics. If so, why not just admit it? Alternatively, the left could revitalize its historical commitment to free and open debate. Now, think about that. That's written by a liberal who wrote that. That's pretty amazing. I'll put the link to that in this hour, too. I mean, but you have liberals calling out liberals for what's going on. This cancel culture, this, and again, my first, you know, it was Ben Shapiro and Ann Coulter, you know, did not speak in Berkeley because of the riots that ensued. And so Berkeley just stopped inviting conservative speakers. Well, there you go. That's the right answer, right? In the land of free speech, right? The most precious right that we have as Americans, the right to speak freely and openly and not be penalized. Well, that's not so much anymore. So anyway, I thought I'd share that with you. I'll put the link. Victor Minaldo. So, I mean, think about that, this time we live in, and you don't have people, and again, I mean, people that lead the liberal, you know, liberal organizations. Where the fuck is Bernie Sanders? Where the fuck is Nancy Pelosi? Where the fuck is Chuck Schumer? Where the fuck are the people that lead this thing and say, hey, look, we need to get a few things straight, right? We don't think this is a good idea. We don't support it at all. All right. To the news we go. Marine F-35 is deployed to UK carrier in a first among allies. Now, this was news last week, but I have this to say about that. We're now going to fly our aircraft off their ships? I mean, shit, man. Like, it sounds like a good idea, but is that just us supplanting their commitment? So, anyway. Mixed signals on whether the President of the United States will be released today. Stars and Stripes, you know, again, my criticism and why I don't think it's necessary. I mean, it's a sentimental buy. Right? These are the stories. A U.S. military dependent dies in a collision with a Japanese driver south of Misawa Air Base. Really? That's above the fold in Stars and Stripes? Japan-based Marine arrested in Hiroshima after alleged break-in. These are the stories that used to be in a newspaper, like on the back of the front page in little boxes. You know, and other things. Front page, Stars and Stripes. You gotta be shitting me. There is a story about a Marine general who's under allegations for using a racial slur. A Marine general? What? Yeah. The two-star general in charge of U.S. Marines in Europe and Africa is under investigation for allegations that he used a racial slur during a recent training event with troops. Quote, we are aware of the allegations, Captain Joseph Butterfield, a Marine Corps spokesman, said. The Marine Corps takes all allegations seriously. Marine Corps confirmation came in response to questions from Stars and Stripes about whether Major General Stephen Neary, who commands Marine Corps forces Europe and Africa, used a derogatory term for blacks in the presence of other Marines. When allegations are made against a Marine, each Marine is afforded due process. There's no additional information. Multiple Marines in the Stuttgart area, where MAR-4 Euro is based, brought the matter to the attention of Stars and Stripes after talk of the incident swirled throughout headquarters during the past week. The Marine Corps did not go into detail about the nature of the incident, but it did not deny the accusation. You know, one of the things that you see, and I think I've seen it a couple times, that as discussions about race come up, right, coaches have used the N-word in the discussion. And not calling anybody the N-word, but they'll use the N-word as in the discussion about the way we talk about race. And then they get accused of using the N-word. And I'm like, wait a minute. They're having an academic conversation. Nobody's calling anybody anything. And then now they're getting aired out? Huh. Interesting. And there's no other information. I find it hard to believe. You know, again, vague story, but I'm not buying it. So I'll be interested in the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. Top headlines in the Wall Street Journal today. Trump doctors offer mixed signals on his health. President's doctors are supposed to give an update this morning. Waiting on that. Couple of interesting opinion pieces. Probably the biggest story is U.S. stocks rise on signs of ebbing political risk. So, the president going to Walter Reed was the subject of much discussion, and the markets reacted late last week and in the after hours trading, because trading happens, right? Because the trading happens 24 hours a day. But the opinion piece is interesting. The truth about critical race theory. So that's in there. And then an end to Michigan's endless emergencies. Now, I would recommend that if you have a subscription to the Wall Street Journal, read that. I read it late last night. And it's about the governor of Michigan. Her name is Gretchen Whitmer. She has essentially abused her powers and acted as a dictator in the state. She has the ability to declare an emergency for 28 days. Well, what she's been doing is every 28 days she declares a new emergency and then she runs the state by herself. So what happens is you declare an emergency for 28 days and then 28 days later you redeclare the same emergency. Yeah, not so much. So the Michigan Supreme Court struck down that the justices used. It was pretty amazing. Ms. Whitmer, a Democrat, has acted under two state laws. The Emergency Management Act lets the governor declare a disaster, but only for 28 days, unless a longer period is approved by the legislature. In this case, Republicans who control the legislature declined to authorize any declaration past April 30th. Ms. Whitmer's response, instead of dealing with the Republican legislature, was to redeclare the emergency. The High Court said in its opinion that the end to the first emergency and immediately declaring a new one for identical reasons was unconstitutional. The law says the governor shall issue a declaration if he or she finds that an emergency has occurred. So Ms. Whitmer argued, as the court explained it, that she had no choice here but to declare a state of emergency. But as Justice Stephen Markham wrote for a unanimous court on this point, to allow such a redeclaration would effectively render the 28-day limitation a nullity. And so without any consolation beyond that, the governor's orders have required residents to stay at home, mandated masks, forced the closures of churches, cafes, salons, gyms, schools, libraries, and so forth, prohibited non-essential travel, and barred private gatherings between people from different households. So, interesting. I would recommend that to you as well. Let's see. We've already talked about General Neary. There's a story in by Mallory Shelburne. Marines released more details on the F-35 Bravo and KC-130J collision. Talks about the squadrons taking part in the WTI course, pilot ejected safely, audio recordings that I played for you last week. You can find here on All Marine Radio website. All you got to do is check it out. So that's really the naming of the squadrons is the only new information. There's an article in Marine Corps Times. Special operations forces must look and fight differently for future conflicts. They don't have a job, right? The glamour pusses of the low intensity conflicts and irregular warfare in Iraq and Afghanistan. And so the special operations community, as Jeff Kenney said, stood up as the Green Berets and things like that. Then we get Delta Force after the Iranian hostage thing. And then that thing blossoms in Iraq and Afghanistan, actually becomes, you know, the leading edge of the United States military. So, instead of being fast roping, bearded store kickers dropping onto rooftops for raids in the next war with a peer, their skills will include hacking, automated drone combat, and a host of cultural language and thinking skills that the force desperately needs. Many of the skills that they've honed over the last two decades will become irrelevant in the new combat landscape. So interesting little article. Top stories in Early Bird today as we get ready to get out of here and get Studio 2 ready for tomorrow. Number one, will Trump's case of COVID-19 endanger U.S. national security? There were statements made over the weekend that no nation ought to look at the United States as somehow or other diminished because of president. In the presidents in the hospital. So pretty typical. Pretty typical. I think there's a playbook for that. President goes in the hospital, issue these statements. So that's going on. Number two, doctors say Trump's blood oxygen level dropped twice recently, but president continues to improve at Walter Reed. That's an Associated Press story about the president's condition. You've seen all kinds of breathless shit like that over the weekend. No doubt. Senators promised a new command climate in Fort Hood in 90 days. I don't know how you do that. Because it's the command climate isn't one person. And I'm curious to see at Fort Hood, what's caused this? What is the horizontal theme in yet a sexual assault that ended up in a suicide? You had a rape that ended up in a murder and a suicide. And so what is the, and again, the keys to this is the amount of public attention. Okay, so underlying this stuff, what's the horizontal theme in all of this? Was it lack of, was it lack of command attention to this stuff? Was it not taking these things seriously? Was it not getting these people help? Is that what it was? If you're that stupid and tone deaf over these issues, as a general officer and as a sergeant major, you belong out, but most are not. If I would say anything, if there's a flaw, most are overly concerned about these things. To the expense of, we talked about, rarely do you hear operational excellence discussed. Rarely. Somebody say, the first thing I'd like to talk about today isn't anything social, right? The first thing I'd like to talk about today is operational excellence. That'd be like, whoa, what's going on here? We're not talking about social issues, social messaging, come on. Number four, top House lawmakers launch investigation in the Pentagon redirecting COVID-19 funds. Damn it. Did they use it to pay for the wall? Right. Esper signs a 10-year military deal to cooperate with Morocco. The U.S. with, Palau and now Morocco. We're making friends. I like that. Yeah. So, anyway, that's the news. And that'll do it here on a Monday, a brief Monday. So kind of be a little bit briefer Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then the Mensa brothers will join me on Thursday and Friday. We'll do normal stuff. So I talked to the chef yesterday. He said to say hey to everybody. But that'll do it on a Monday. Have a great day. I'm off to get ready to do post-medic winning early tomorrow morning. So in the spirit of that, go change somebody's life. I did it again last night. Yeah, it's great. I lived the craziest life in the world. But at the same time, it's absolutely wonderful. So have a great day. We'll take a quick break. This hour repeats itself if you're joining late. It's worth the listen, I promise you. So on a Monday, All Marine Radio. Go change somebody's life. I'm out.